All right, everybody. Hey, what's going on? It's Wednesday. Today is June 15th. I thought yesterday was June 15th. Today's June 15th. Hey, listen, let me mention a few of our sponsors here, and then we're going to jump into it because we have got a big show coming up today, and I'll tell you about that in a second. First, let me start off with iThrive MD. And the reason I want to start with iThrive is because this upcoming Saturday between 12 and 2 p.m., we're doing yet another IV Lounge. And I'm grabbing my phone because I want to read to you the text message from Raquel Gay, DJ Gay's wife, who is putting this all together for us. Listen, this upcoming Saturday, let's celebrate Father's Day. Okay, Father's Day is Sunday. Let's get dad an IV, which means, I know it sounds a little strange because like a lot of people are afraid of needles and a lot of people don't think to themselves, well, I'm just going to go get an IV. But when you have the IV put into your vein, by the way, you're sitting in these really comfortable seats, this beautiful environment, there's lots of people around, you're having a nice conversation. We take the place over. So you get all this hydration, all these nutrients, and you just feel so alive. And we've got so many great friends that come back because they want to do it again and again. So now with Raquel Gay, here's what she was telling me. Now, when you buy 10 IVs, like we've got some people that are husband-wife teams. When you buy 10, you actually get 25% off. When you buy 5, you get a sixth for free. So this Saturday, it's going to be mimosas and IVs at iThrive MD down in Mission Valley. Call this number, 858-240-1497. 858-240-1497. Please come. Please get healthy. Please support the show. Please support our sponsors. This is a really good deal for us. And I look forward to seeing everybody down there. Alex and Brown are going to be down there as well. All right, let me keep going. Let me talk about our friends from Torii Holistics. Now, thing about Torii Holistics is this. They had a grand opening at California Holistics down in Chula Vista. People came. Everybody bought stuff, you know? But sometimes you got to tell people again and again, hey, we're open. Hello, we're here. We're in your neighborhood. So I was there this past weekend, California Holistics. It's on H Street, H as in Howie, in Chula Vista, right near the 805, right near the entrance to the 805. There's a Jerome's Furniture. There's a Chili's. What a spectacular place. This Friday and this Saturday and this Sunday, version 2.0. Alex, do you have any of the details on all the great things that are happening at Torii Holistics?
Yeah.
Would you like to tell everybody?
No, I don't have them in front of me.
My bad. Here's the deal. They got all these great specials happening. There's all the brands that you know and that you love. And they've got this one deal where it's like one penny. And they give you this like goodie bag. And dude, there's all kinds of shit in this thing, man. I'm telling you right now. California Holistics, Torii Holistics. Use our promo code. That is summer. You'll save 20%.
That's on Saturday, June 18th at 12 p.m.
Yeah.
$250 gift bags for a penny.
$250?
Gift bags. 250 gift bags for a penny. Okay.
250 gift bags for one penny. The crap that, when I say crap, I mean the good stuff that is in these bags. I wish I have one right here. Anyway, listen, you get the point. Torii Holistics, California Holistics, this upcoming weekend, version 2.0 of the grand opening down at California Holistics in Chula Vista. All kinds of great savings. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that very much.
Lots of stuff.
Yep. All kinds of savings happening this weekend. Hey, one last shout out here before we start the show. Let me send a shout out to our friends at Mazda of Escondido, mazdaofescondido.com. They're on the Escondido Auto Park. Very easy to find. Alan is the general manager, and I just give you the challenge. Hey, Alan, I'm a great friends listener. I'm a great friends viewer. I really need a great deal. Let's do a beautiful thing, baby. Alan at Mazda of Escondido, mazdaofescondido.com. Alex, let's start the show.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. This is not welcome back. I'm starting over. Oh, great friends. What's up, Kaplan and crew? With just the crew today, Alex Padilla and John Browner with you guys. No joke, Browner. Right now is the first words I have spoken today.
Oi.
This is the first time I opened my mouth, and it's not bad. It is not bad. I was fully not sure what today was going to sound like. I had no voice yesterday whatsoever. It bounced on me. If you remember, we're recording our Holistics Highlights podcast.
Oh, dude, your last words were rough.
And I asked the guy a question, and my voice was like, yeah, I'm tapping out here. And I text you guys in the middle of the podcast. I just text you guys, yo, I'm done talking because my voice is gone. And my fiance freaked out. She was totally like, you have COVID. You got to take a test. You got to start drinking this and that. I don't have COVID and I didn't take anything. I was just like, dude, this is just a voice thing. And I have no idea where this is coming from. I feel 100%. I rode the Peloton yesterday. Me and my girl went on a 4-mile walk yesterday with the dog. Like, I feel absolutely fine, but my voice is shoddy. And I would say it's obviously not 100%. For me, I can hear it's not 100%. But man, I text you guys. I was like, hey, I'll keep you posted. This might be a best of day today, but here we are. Rolling.
You sounded way worse with those last words on the Holistic Highlights podcast than I think I've ever heard you sound. Mm-hmm. Like, ever. Like, it just, nothing good was coming out. It just sounded like you had a huge loogie in your throat. And your voice box was just being overran by mucus. It was terrible.
And it's funny because there was no mucus. There was nothing. It was literally nothing. Like, there is no mucus in here right now. There's nothing. It's literally just a shot voice. Like, I don't know what happened. This weekend, I didn't even, my girl wasn't here, so I wasn't even talking, really. I was by myself. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go to a concert. I wasn't yelling. I wasn't singing. I have no idea what happened. And I remember... Browner, and you'll hear this, you can watch this podcast on Monday when it comes out, Holistics Highlights on YouTube. Go check it out if you haven't. We still need to add a ton of subscribers. It's embarrassing the views that it's getting right now, so can you guys please go to Holistics Highlights, subscribe to the YouTube page or on any audio podcast, Holistics Highlights.
You know what we need to do a better job of? Promoting stuff. We are the worst promoters ever. We don't promote things very well. I mean, now part of that is because we don't spend money on promoting, but that's one of the things where we should have, like, hey, you budget, here's some advertising in there. Yeah.
Or them or Tori.
Someone should have thought of this before we got to the point of how many views is this?
But now we're knocking them out and now people can go back and watch them, because I personally think like the first couple we're still figuring it out, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I felt like the one we recorded yesterday was one of our best, to be like, it was a free-flowing conversation. We were making jokes. The dude was laughing. I sounded like ass, but still, it was like one of our best. I think we're kind of getting to that point now where I'm down to promote it. There was a few that I was like, yeah, I don't really care if everybody doesn't watch this. One needs a little bit of work, but like, I think that people should go check it out. But no, getting back to my point, I was in the middle of asking him a question about something, and in my head, I was like, why am I talking right now? Like, why am I even trying to force this right now? I literally cleared my throat, nothing there. And I'm like, sorry. And then I finished the question and I was like, I got to stop talking. And I can feel it now. I could feel the more I'm talking, it's going to fade today again. Uh-oh. Like, I literally didn't talk yesterday till today. And now I'm feeling it. It's going to go again at some point. Hopefully we can make it through this whole show. But we're here now. So if you're listening on Mightier 1090, if you're watching here on YouTube, if you're listening on audio podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeart, any Stitcher. People came up to us at the Egg Fest saying, hey, I listen to you on Stitcher. I was like, oh, dope, dude. Like, I don't care where you listen. Just listen. It's literally all the same to me. I don't care if you watch, if you listen, but we appreciate everybody, especially days like when Scott's not here. I appreciate anybody checking in with us. I know the Padres played earlier today. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the historic night and Wrigley Field. Man, the Cubs suck.
No, like, don't you do that. No. I'm not going to let you come in here and do that.
No.
What I'm going to say right now to every person skeptical of the offense, are you not entertained?
Yes, I am.
Are you not entertained? What more? 21 hits. What more do you need? What is my recipe for winning? Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. But I not complaining, but the Cubs have lost a lot in a row. They give up a lot of runs. Well, I don't know what happened today yet. That's why. But I think the Yankees put up 18 on them on Sunday. Then obviously the 19 last night, the 12 the night before. Doesn't matter. Get the wins. It looks great.
They've lost 9 straight.
We'll talk about that.
Possibly 10.
Yeah. As we enter today's show, they've lost. We're gonna proceed today as if we're entering today's day. So we'll talk about that. Manny Machado got his 1,500th hit on Wednesday night. Manny Machado, it's really cool to see the national media kind of prop up the guy now, because he was such a villain for a while there, you know? And I feel like I remember when he was a Dodger in that World Series, I was a big hater of Manny Machado. I thought his antics, I'll call them antics, were like just, they were hilarious because nobody would ever do it. And everybody was making like a huge deal with the things he was doing in that World Series. But now that he's on your team, that's all kind of gone away. It really has. Like, you don't hear about, he gets booed everywhere. That's not new.
Right.
But as far as like national media, I feel like as of yesterday, at least, he was getting a lot of props. He was getting a lot of credit for the career he's had so far. He's been a pro for such a long time. He's only 29, about to be 30, I believe, July 6th. So for him to get his 1,500 hit on top of the 250 home runs he already has, and to only be the 16th player or 17th player to ever do it, it's really remarkable, and we'll talk about that too.
I think that we, again, I keep saying this, this team is different from last year's team. And I know they brought the majority of the cast of characters back. They brought a couple new pitchers in. But this team is moving and operating at a different frequency than they did last year. And it, the evidence is, look at the way that they now, they take care of business. One series after the other series after the other series. And none of the negativity, like from the Cardinals series, is bleeding over into the next series. Yeah. They really have a next day, next man up mentality, and it is permeating throughout the entire roster, because everyone, is stepping up and coming through. Like, yesterday was a great day for everyone in that dugout, because it was almost as if batting practice broke out, and you're going to get one of those.
It did break out.
You're going to get one of those a year for your team, where you, against one team, everybody's going to get a hit. It's going to feel great. It's going to be fun. And that's what yesterday was. Yesterday was a game you could turn off in a good way. Like, oh, okay, we won this. I don't need to see this anymore. You want more of those. You want a lot more of those.
Here you go, nerd. It was the first game in Padres history. You hear that? It was the first game in Padres history in which every starter had at least one hit, one RBI, and one run scored.
And not to mention,
that includes Eric Hosmer.
My dog Weathers had a nice, he had a rough start. Hit a rough start. Mm-hmm. I need to see him again.
The only thing that was reminiscent of last season was that performance. Performance. I don't think they did him any favors either by bringing him up, because he's clearly been struggling this year in AAA. And I know you didn't want to bring it up, but I mean, it's just a fact. He's been struggling in AAA all season. He's got a 7+ ERA. So I wasn't the least bit surprised that he struggled yesterday. Going 3 2/3, giving up 4 runs with 4 walks. Did he walk 2 runs in?
I thought one of the major things was when they got 2 in the first for him. And I was like, okay, boom. They gave him 2. He's going to figure this out. He's got a nice little cushion. He can kind of just go out and pitch. And the second inning, just like, come on, guy. Come on, man.
I honestly don't need to see him again. I don't think they need to do that to him again. I think he's got to figure. I mean, he's going through. I think we're just, the difference is, I believe he's going through what Gore went through. We're just seeing it. Like, all the mental problems that we read about Mackenzie Gore and all the stuff he was struggling with,
right?
I think we're just seeing it with Ryan Weathers, because when Gore was going through all that stuff, supposedly it was during, there was no minor league baseball because of COVID, so we didn't get to see any of the struggles. We didn't get to physically watch him play baseball because there was no minor leagues. As far as Ryan Weathers goes, I think he's going through learning curves the same way Mackenzie Gore did. It's just, it's being televised. And you can watch it. You can go to the game and see him struggle. You like, I just think that's the difference.
I would prefer to see him again for this simple fact. this is the best place for him to learn. Because I get what's happening in the minors. I understand that. Your best coaches are here. The best team morale is here. The best possible energy he will find is here. And so,
but the results matter here. That's why I don't want to see it here.
Then bring him out of the bullpen. I think he needs active. I think he needs active appearances at high levels to be successful, because we've seen him pitch at this level. And if he can or can't do it, while you don't need it, this is the time to find out. Like, I get that we're in a race with the Dodgers, and this race feels real. It doesn't feel like last year where we're like, okay, we're only two games out, 23 games out. This feels real. This feels like we have a fighting chance at winning a head-to-head battle with them in the division. But at the same time, as I look at it, we're going to need consistency from the bullpen. And we haven't been able to get that. And one of the ways to explore more options than that is to let Ryan Weathers kind of figure some of his hiccups out up here. Because down there isn't working. It's just not working. So,
well, it takes time, man. I think that's the difference is, you know, there's with pitchers, it's not always going to be at such a young age like Mackenzie Gore. I mean, you look at last night or the two nights ago, Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers, he made his major league debut when he was 26 years old. You know, like it takes time to figure. And Gonsolin, he's a really, really good pitcher now for the Dodgers. And he's 28 now. So I just think it's different for pitchers. I think that if you were a non-contending team, then I would agree with you. But I just think right now the results matter too much to have him figure it out up here. There's a reason why CJ Abrams isn't up here. He's figuring it out down there, and he's excelling in AAA at the moment. I just think there's a reason. Like if you're the Reds, then yeah, you don't have really anything to lose because you're going to win 40 games this year. So I just think that it matters too much to have even come out of the bullpen. I mean, Lamet's not up here. Lamet was supposedly healthy, but he's struggling. So they didn't. It matters too much this season, Brown. I think when you're in this race with the Dodgers, a half a game matters. A performance like that matters.
But I think when you have players who you figure to play big in your organization, they need these type of looks. They need these type of windows, the pre-All-Star break window, not really the post-All-Star break, because that's when it gets more real, and this is where I wouldn't necessarily want him out there working on himself. But at this point where you are seeing this team find a real chance, pre-All-Star break, guys start to check out a little bit.
But this isn't also like his sixth start.
Right.
You know, he's played for the Padres, I want to say 20 starts already. This is, so it's not like he hasn't had the opportunity to do what you're saying and figure it out.
But he
had that opportunity.
But he has been good. So this is in a situation.
But he hasn't been good for a very long time.
But this isn't a situation where he was never good and it never made any sense. Like there have been flashes of him at this level being successful. And if I'm them, that's what I'm hoping to bring out of him and not performances like yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a differing of opinion. Obviously, I don't know if he's going to get another start, but I know that if it was me, I wouldn't give him another start right now. I would have him go down. I just think that they did it because they didn't want to screw with the success of the rotation that they've been having. They didn't want to move everybody up. So I would be surprised if he gets another start. I really would. I do think that it's a possibility just because I don't think Clevinger is going to come off the IL. Obviously, he's not coming off the IL for the Colorado series. They've already announced the lineups going up there. So, I don't know, man. It's just something that I wouldn't do. But it's also something that we don't necessarily have to, like last season, it would be a worrisome type of issue. It would be a very worrisome issue because you were relying on Ryan Weathers.
Right.
This year, it's not such. That's why also, it's not so worrisome because you can send him down because you don't need him. It was a spot start. He can go back down to AAA. I think it's a mental thing more than anything. I mean, you could look at those pitches that he was throwing fastballs in the second inning when he gave up the two walks for the two runs. Like, they're not even close. Not even close. Is that a mechanical thing? I don't know. Is that a mental thing? I think so. So Browner, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets another start. But if it were up to me, I wouldn't do it.
I hope he does. I hope he does.
Why no? He's the Padres' best pitcher.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, now it's Mackenzie Gore, but.
Now it's Mackenzie Gore. Yeah. Even after the last performance.
I ain't worried about that.
Okay.
I ain't worried about that at all.
I mean, the last time you labeled someone the Padres' best pitcher, it turned into weather. So I really don't want you to do that to Gore.
Again. That last start, we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
We'll get more into the Manny Machado stuff, the Padres. But last night, were you watching the Dodgers Angels?
Why the hell would I be watching that?
Because I was not watching it. I was out and about, but I was keeping track of the game because Tyler Anderson was throwing a no-hitter. And he got the no-hitter all the way to the ninth inning with one out. You're not watching at all.
No.
No interest at all.
No hitters do nothing for me. Nothing.
What about keeping tabs on your first and second place NL West? That does nothing for you?
We had already, we were taking care of business. There was no reason for me to, if we win, I don't need to see what they do.
What's happening? What's going on with you back there?
I don't know, man. This TV's weird. This TV's got a mind of its own.
It's because you use it as a real TV as well.
Yeah, it's true. I should put it on like a display.
If you're listening on radio, you have no idea we're talking about. John Browner's TV behind him in his studio is acting up, and it's like turning off and turning on its own. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about. Anyways, yesterday, Tyler Anderson, 8 1/3, no hit baseball, and your boy coming through.
Tyler Anderson to Shohei Ohtani. That's a line drive to right. Betts won't get there. And Ohtani breaks up the no-hitter with one out in the ninth inning. He does it with a triple. 8 1/3 no-hit innings for Tyler Anderson. Ohtani breaks it up. What a performance from that man right there.
Your boy, Shohei. Doing everybody a favor, breaking that no-hitter up. By the way, you see him fly? He's fast, too.
Look, man. Did you see the score?
Yeah, they lost, but at least he got the no-hitter out of the way. So,
Cool.
My take of the Angels finishing above 500 might be the worst thing I've ever said. That might be a Brown Facts hot take, but I'm sticking with it. It's a long season.
It ain't long enough for them at the rate they're going. They are not good. And I mean like not good as in not good. They're 10 games out of first place. Remember when we were having a conversation about how close they were to first place? It was like a game and a half.
Well, they were in first place for a long time.
Now they're 10 and a half games out.
That's what happens when you lose 14 in a row. The Padres lose 14 in a row. I think they would be in third or fourth place.
Which is where the Angels are. So I don't, right. I just.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that because I also want to talk about the Dodgers who continue to find ways to win, even though Walker Buehler is out. Clayton Kershaw is just coming back. These two guys, Tony Gonsolin, Tyler Anderson, like what the hell? I thought they didn't have pitchers this year, and all of a sudden they got two aces. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals with my – I don't know if he's my former coworker.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how to label him because he got a promotion, so he doesn't work for SilverScreenAndRoll.com anymore. Harrison Fagan, he's now the managing editor of SB Nation NBA.
Got a big
promotion. We're going to talk NBA Finals, John. Guess what, dude? I'm all in tonight.
Oh, my God.
I'm all in. I love elimination games. I am all in tonight. I'm watching. I'm ready to watch Game 6 Clay tonight because I'm really hoping the Warriors not only win, but to do it in Boston in front of those freaking people. I mean, who doesn't want to see? Unless you live in Boston and you're a Boston Celtics fan, no one's rooting for you today. Nobody.
It's going to be lit tonight.
It's going to be great tonight. And that's, what is that, 6 p.m. tip tonight? Yep. 6 p.m. tip tonight. We'll talk to Harrison Fagan about the NBA Finals. Did you know, Browner, that the Chargers are going to move to Dallas, Texas?
To do what?
To move. They will be the Dallas Chargers. I'll explain what I'm talking about there as well. That story was hilarious. We'll talk about Manny Machado and the night he had at Wrigley. And also, since Scott's not here, are we allowed to talk like TV now? Like, can we talk about like Obi-Wan Kenobi? Can we talk about Stranger Things? Can we talk about things that he never would watch, but I think both of us are.
We can even talk Jurassic Park.
I would love to because I won't watch that. So we'll get into a lot of random stuff. But when we come back, my boy Harrison Fagan from SB Nation will get us ready for the NBA Finals. We'll talk Lakers because you can't turn the TV on without someone talking about the Lakers. It's ridiculous. Also, a trade in the NBA. How is there trades? The season's still happening. Right. What the hell? Anyways, we'll talk about this. Kaplan and crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. We'll be right back. Yo, welcome back, everybody, to Kaplan and crew with just the crew today. Alex Padilla, John Browner with you guys. Scott out today and tomorrow. He's out in Pittsburgh for something. He didn't really describe what he was doing. I didn't get it, at least, if he did describe what he was doing. But we'll all be back on Monday. I don't think we're taking Monday off. That's a holiday for a lot of people, but he will be back on Monday. We will be back together on Monday. Right now, joining us to talk a little NBA Finals because I'm all in now, Browner. Like I told you the segment before, I'm all in on the NBA Finals. Finally, now that we get to an elimination game, editorial manager of SB Nation NBA, Harrison, and my former boss, my former coworker, my current coworker. I don't know what are you to me anymore, but Harrison, it is so a pleasure to see you, man.
Yeah, that's a good question of like what our technical relationship is. I'm still like sort of running SSR, so I think I'm kind of still your boss, but not really.
Yeah.
That's sort of Anthony. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who to respond
I won't tell
to,
you like... anything to do right now on the air, just to make sure that okay. we're good there and we're, you know, clear corporate.
I took Tuesday of Memorial Week off when I normally podcast, and I asked Anthony if that's okay. So I guess my chain of command went straight to Anthony.
You at the very least respect him more, clearly. That's what we know.
Maybe. That it wasn't a slight to you. I was just like, well, he doesn't, I don't know. So I just went straight to Anthony.
Yeah, he's the podcast guy. Okay. I think you asked the right guy.
Okay, cool. How is the new gig? You got a promotion? Are you still working from home? Did you move anywhere?
I'm still working from home. I'm working even more from home now because, you know, I don't have to go to Lakers game or go to games or cover games specifically anymore. So yeah, I'm watching, the whole league, which right now is just two teams. So it's a lot easier than, it will be obviously when next season starts. But yeah, I love the new job so far. It's been fun just kind of not having to worry about every single Lakers Russell Westbrook update. I can just kind of enjoy the chaos from afar. It's just one of the 30 teams I, you know, pay attention to now. So that's great. Yeah.
The big pain is going to be Orlando in January. No one wants to watch that.
No, I mean, I don't have to. That's our Magic Blogs job. So I'm good. Yeah, you know, I just watch whatever I want. I'm a national insider now, baby.
Look at you. Whoa.
So like national NBA talk shows. Like, they're still talking about Lakers.
He just gave you all you need to know. He is a national NBA insider. That's it. Right. That's it. That's the title. That's your title. Right. That's your title. You're a national NBA insider.
I'm just going to start prefacing every opinion I have with sources now. Like, yeah, I think I'm legally allowed to.
I don't know. I think you're now legally obligated to do so.
Yeah, I'm a source. So, like, I think that's it. You guys are sort of, you know, if I just say league source, that could mean anyone around the league.
That's you now. That's you. Mm-hmm. That's you. We can come on this show and go, we spoke to a league source. That's you.
Yeah.
It's true.
No, literally, we can.
Source of information about the league. I think you guys are, like, in the clear there.
This show officially now has two league sources. George Sedano and Harrison Fagan. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say Sedano's probably a little more plugged in than I am, but just a little bit.
Don't do that to yourself.
Nah.
Don't do that to
Why? Just because he's on the sidelines? Nobody tells him anything.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the whole sideline reporter thing where he gets private meetings with the coaches.
If you get sick, just say you're in health and safety protocol like he did. Like, you're a source now. You're a source.
We gave him so much grief because he got COVID. He's all good now, so we can make fun of it now.
Right.
But he got COVID. And he was, instead of saying, hey, everybody, I got COVID, he tweeted, hey, I'm in the league's health and safety protocol. We're like, bro, are you in the league? Like, did you put yourself in there or did the league put you in there? So
he's the broadcast partner. I think he's allowed to say that. I think he has a street cred.
Like, I want to get COVID. I don't want to get COVID. But if I get COVID, I want to put myself in any leagues. Like, if in baseball, like, hey, I'm on the COVID IL list for the next 10 days. Like. I think Harrison, you can do that. You know, as an NBA insider, you now have that ability to put yourself in the NBA.
All your sicknesses, health and safety protocol.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm just, you know, working from home. I'm permanently in the health and safety protocols. I am as health and safety as I can be in my apartment. Yeah. You know,
facts.
Yep, facts. So, all right, let's talk basketball. I guess because tonight is game six of the NBA finals. It hasn't been the best of finals, obviously, if you're watching. We haven't really had that fourth quarter come down to the wire game yet. I don't think in the playoffs, it feels like. I don't remember any close game that's gone down to the wire, unless I'm mistaken. But especially in these NBA finals, there have been good games. They just, the score hasn't been close. As far as tonight goes, is tonight the closeout game, or do we go to game seven?
I mean, I don't want to jinx it. I certainly am, you know, I am as a, you know, recovering Lakers beat writer and, you know, longtime Laker fan since childhood. Like, I am certainly hoping the Warriors will close it out tonight so that I won't have to watch the Celtics, you know, potentially play one game to eclipse the Lakers and banners on Sunday. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the Warriors, you know, the last two games really, you know, you mentioned not necessarily having the closest final scores. Last game, I really thought that we were going to get that. The Celtics looked like they were making a run there for a while in the fourth quarter. It was pretty tight in the It was pretty tight in the third quarter until the Warriors kind of pulled away. I think the Celtics ran out of gas a little bit, you know, making that ridiculous comeback in the third and shooting the lights out. You know, I don't know that that was necessarily sustainable. The Warriors went to seemingly every team against the Celtics' fourth quarter strategy of just like trying to force the ball to Marcus Smart because he will continue to shoot it. And it doesn't matter how many in a row he's missed, like, or how open they're leaving him, he is going to fire away. And so, you know, I think the Warriors have figured some things out. And just the fact that they were able to win last game with Steph maybe playing like maybe his worst playoff game ever. Like, I don't know that he offhand, I cannot think of a less efficient worst game than he's played than that. And he wasn't like terrible. He just, you know, he didn't hit threes and the threat of his spacing still allowed Wiggins and the rest of the Warriors to do things. So he wasn't like useless by any means, but that was maybe his worst individual playoff game ever. And that they were able to win. Like, I don't anticipate, unless he's dealing with some massive injury we don't know about, that, you know, the Celtics are going to get that lucky against him or, you know, missing that many shots tonight.
I thought that what we saw in game five was really an overflow of game four, because this feels like how a seven game series usually goes when the smarter team can figure out what the other team is doing. Because it feels like the Warriors have taken all the Celtics' punches. Ime Udoka has pulled all the levers he possibly can to give the Celtics a fighting chance, because as a whole, the Warriors have more experience and it's showing. They're winning games, getting nothing from Draymond when he does Draymond stuff, getting relatively little from Klay, but he's still a threat by being out there. And of all people, Andrew Wiggins has shown himself to be good. And so when you look at the box score at the end of the night, and Jason Tatum has been outplayed by Andrew Wiggins on a night where Steph Curry didn't make a three, it looks like a bizarro land. But at this point, I think that the Warriors have pretty much figured out what the Celtics want to do, and now they're beginning to exploit it. Because that third quarter barrage of threes they had was reminiscent to the first game where they had. They did it in the fourth quarter. And so the Warriors just didn't have time to re-gauge and then re-attack. But they did in game five, and that's what was the result.
Yeah, and Wiggins was unbelievable. You know, I'm sort of, you said of all, I think you said Wiggins of all people. Like, I mean, I was kind of, that was my reaction while watching it. It's like, is that Andrew Wiggins like going off in a
Talking about the All-Star Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah. Big game Wiggins, I think they're calling him, man. You know? He's you know,
He looked like James Worthy when he playing like this.
It was unbelievable. He was taking guys like in isolation. Like he was playing the KD role for Golden State, basically. Like in, you know, when they had those runs where they were, you know, they needed a bucket, they were going to somebody in isolation. And this time it was just Andrew Wiggins. And it was the fact, you know, I didn't even think about it like that, but the fact that he's outplayed Jason Tatum in a finals game is sort of incredible and has to be acknowledged. You know, I know he's a former number one overall pick, but you know, prior this year, he had never really shown anything that made me believe he was capable of something like he's shown in these finals where he's been so good. And I still think, you know, I think we're at the point where we can start talking about finals MVP because the Warriors could theoretically clinch tonight. I still think for the overall body of work over all the games, it should still be Steph if the Warriors win. But Wiggins had me thinking about it the other night. Like, you know, we're all, we all have like,
well, here's another game. tonight like he did the last game, he might win MVP.
We all have goldfish brain. And so, like, we all remember, like, the last game most recently. And it's like, I know logically, if you look at the stats for the series, if you look at the impact, if you look at the overall, it should be Steph. But I'm like, I also just watched game five and I'm like, but Wiggins? Maybe? I don't know. I really, that was fun.
If Andrew Wiggins repeats performances from 4 and 5 again in 6, there will be a legit conversation. The 40-point game Steph had, that was magnificent. But without Andrew Wiggins, they're down 3-2, not up 3-2. And I think the fistbowl moment, right, of what Steph Curry did in game 4 really kind of left people going, well, even if they lose, he's the finals MVP. Mm-hmm. Which I never understood why people keep doing that, but nevertheless. Well,
it's also a weird take for after game 4. Like, right. You know, when the series is tied 2-2, it's like, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 games. Like,
and if these two games are dominated, like Andrew Wiggins, I can't believe I'm saying this, dominated the last game. By the way, shooting terribly from 3. If Andrew Wiggins then dominates this game, you have no choice but to give him the Andre Iguodala version of the NBA Finals, where it goes, we're going to give it to you because for some reason we just can't give it to Steph.
If Andrew Wiggins wins the Finals MVP this year, they have to just rename it after Andre Iguodala. Just the Andre Iguodala role player who went off award. Like, yes. It's no longer the Finals MVP. It's the, like, it's
the Bill Russell. Is it the Bill Russell MVP trophy? Russell.
I think that, they got to rename it after Andre Iguodala, with all due respect to Bill Russell. If Wiggins wins it this year, you know, it's the Warriors role player who went off Memorial Award.
So we're talking to Harrison Fagan, the editorial manager of SB Nation NBA. You brought it up earlier, and I've heard this talking point as well. You know, the Celtics did go 7 games against Miami. They did go 7 games against Milwaukee. Those were very tough physical series. How much of that is in play right now? How much of them being tired, how much of them being worn out is in play right now? Is it possible that they're just kind of out of gas? Like, Tatum hasn't been as excellent as he was in the previous series?
I definitely think that, I mean, I think we have to consider it a factor, right? Like, playing that many games against that many good teams, that many hard-fought contests, kind of down to the wire. I mean, of course that's going to wear you down. We all have a working set of eyes and can see the playoffs are way, way different than the intensity of the regular season. Like, the basketball has gone up a massive level during this postseason, maybe as much as I can ever remember, in terms of almost being a different sport, you know, in terms of how teams game plan, how intense everyone's playing. Like, it's been awesome, even if there have been some blowouts along the way. There have been a lot, probably too many blowouts along the way. But the games that have been close have been really great, high-level basketball. And, you know, I think Tatum is doing the Paul Pierce trip to the locker room, like, almost every game where he's getting hurt somewhere. Like, he's clearly worn down and he's dealing with some stuff. And then Robert Williams, you know, they're saying, like, they had to, like, inject his knee, and, like, the Celtics doctors are having to tell him he can't make it worse by playing on it. Like, he's clearly not 100%, but is giving the Celtics everything he has. Like, I mean, I don't even know if there's an argument to be made that they aren't worn down. But I think that's the thing is, you know, the finals, this is something I know Richard Jefferson was talking about it in regards to the NBA regular season, in terms of, like, endurance and, you know, how much are we, like, some of this should be about the team that can stay healthy, the team that can put in the work to, like, make sure that they're ready to capitalize on these situations. And, you know, by not ending those series quicker, the Celtics, you know, they cost themselves some extra wear and tear in some of those series. And, like, this is part of the finals. This has always been part of the finals. As teams get worn down by the finals, especially with the way that defense is played now, with how much switching is involved, it's just a more physically taxing games, I think, especially on your lower legs. And I think we do see guys run out of gas, especially more in recent years. And the guys that don't are really the difference makers.
Watching the Celtics perform just makes me more clear. If you play hard all year, this part of the year shouldn't be that hard for you. Like, the Warriors' offense is the same all year. Andrew Wiggins has never played this much in a season. Gary Payton II has never played this much in a season. Klay Thompson hadn't played in 2 damn years. They look fine because they play hard every game. I like what Udoka has been able to do with the Celtics, but you're right. They take games off in the playoffs. Like, there were multiple times against the Heat, I was like, are they not playing tonight? And I think that, I don't think they're out of gas, so to speak. I think Jason Tatum, specifically, I just think he's worn down. He's always rolling his shoulder around. And
yeah.
So I think he's just more worn down than anything, because he's playing harder than he's ever played, later than he's ever played. And I think that's what's starting to get to him. And that's got to be the reason for his percentage dives in almost every category.
Yeah, I think guys are losing their legs. You see it by this point in the year. Yeah. And like you mentioned, like the shoulder thing, and, you know, and like they're clearly just pretty banged up. And like, I do agree with what you said about Udoka. Like it just incredible job by a first year head coach. And clearly somebody that has been ready for this opportunity. It's like, as loath as I am to praise a Celtic, like it does show that, you know, teams probably should be giving more chances to these guys with the great resumes as an assistant and see if there's some upside there versus, you know, going with kind of the retread coaches that we've already seen fail a bunch of times. Not that those guys don't ever deserve second chances or anything. We saw Frank Vogel come in with the Lakers and like end up leading them to a title as well. So retreads can work out, but, you know, I am always sort of, it's the same thing I was saying during the Lakers coaching search about, like, I always think that you're better off kind of taking a gamble on one of these guys with the promising resume that looks like they're ready to kind of take that next step versus like trying someone who already hasn't worked out at multiple stops.
So for the record, I'm going Warriors tonight. I think it's over tonight. We haven't even talked about game six Clay. So it's really over at this point. I think I saw a stat that the Warriors are 9-3 in game sixes when Clay Thompson plays. So we'll see what happens. But what, Browner, you agree? You think game seven? I know you probably want a game seven, but game seven?
This series has been far too unpredictable, but I do think the Warriors have figured them out. So I think the Warriors win tonight because, again, they've been 3-1. So they know we cannot just give away another game because, oh, it's at home. So I think they take care of business tonight more than they actually are willing to fly back to San Francisco and play another game.
So yeah, if you're a Warriors fan, I wonder if you, like, I know you want to, like, win at home. But at this point, you just want to win. You don't want to get it over with. If you're a Warriors fan, don't matter. And nothing is more beautiful than watching Boston fans cry if they do lose tonight. So we can't let you go, though, Harrison, because we haven't talked about Russell Westbrook yet. Oh, and it wouldn't be an interview with you without talking about Russell Westbrook, because I don't know what to believe. I've talked about the
this
podcast.
This is my purgatory.
Like 1 week.
Yeah, I'm trapped discussing Westbrook. Yeah,
it's like 1 week, he's out. He's going to be gone. The next week, I think we're going to keep him. Then Darvin Ham's like, I love him, but look, what is he supposed to say? And now it's posturing season. And now the Hornets, they're like, and we're still in the season. That's what's crazy. We're still in this season, and we cannot stop talking about next season. But where are we right now? What the hell is going on with Russell Westbrook? What the hell is going on in that whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it on Twitter, and we were all joking around in the SSR Slack about, like, you know, it's like, what is Darvin Ham supposed to say with Russell Westbrook 15 feet away? And I forget who it was, but somebody was like, well, we've already seen he can't do any damage from that distance. Like, you know, Darvin was safe. He could have said whatever he wanted. And so, yeah, I mean, what I've been maintaining sort of on our podcast at Silver Screen and Roll, which I've still been doing the last couple of weeks as we sort of transition, and, you know, in any writing or tweeting or whatever that I've done, is, you know, just like all of us, the Lakers front office, whether we agree with every decision that they make or not, like, they have working eyeballs. They watched last season up close. They saw how it was behind the scenes. I refuse to believe that there's any way that they watched how last year went, both, you know, on the court, off the court, in the locker room, in the film room, and that they're like, yeah, you know what? The only problem was Frank Vogel. We just needed another coach, and the whole Russ experience is going to work. You know, I just don't believe that they could actually believe that. And I think that as we get closer to the draft, as we get closer to Russell Westbrook's trade player option, you know, they're going to find some deal. Some team is going to be willing to take on a big hit this year on their cap for longer term savings and getting off of longer term money that they don't want. I just, like, we've seen him. Everybody says his contract is untradeable. We've seen him get traded 3 times on this contract with more years left on it. Like, the idea that it's suddenly completely unmovable without multiple first round picks being attached, you know, in the year it expires, just doesn't make sense to me. And maybe they end up not finding a deal, whatever. I refuse to believe that they're actually planning on just bringing him back, and that this is their grand plan, and that it's not just posturing until they get, and saying the right things until they get a deal done. I will not believe that Russell Westbrook is going, or really even consider what that will look like, until, like, he is actually in training camp, like, that he is going to be on the roster and what that would be like.
Then you better get ready. because
2 minutes, Browner, 2 minutes.
There is no trade partner for him. I think this is a situation where the league's looking at the Lakers and going, you did this. We're not bailing you out. Because the only other real partner at that salary, because you're right, John Wall's contract got traded. Any contract can be traded, mm-hmm. period. But look at the status of John Wall. Russell Westbrook doesn't want that. And so I don't think that there is a trade partner, because he can always spoil the apple cart and go, I'm not doing that. So I think he's a Laker. I think they're going to have to figure it out. And I also think adding Rasheed Wallace to that coaching staff is going to make a massive difference. I really do.
I also do think that, like, Ham just gives off the impression, like, at his opening thing, of a guy who's going to be better. Like, Frank Vogel had strengths as a head coach, holding guys accountable and, you know, dealing with someone who did not sort of just – who was not naturally inclined to go along with what Frank Vogel was preaching. That was not one of his strengths, I think. Like, we saw the success of the 2020 Warriors or Lakers. That was a lot of guys that wanted to play the way that Frank wanted to play. So when he gave feedback, it was like, they were like, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what they want to do anyway. And the playing style that they were accustomed to. What Russ was being asked to do is not how he views himself. And I think that Darvin, you know, seems like a guy who is going to be better. Like, if anyone can reach Russ and hold him accountable at this stage of his career, you know, after the way that last year went, like, I do think that he would be a good pick for that. I just still, you know, he can say, like, you know, he's got to be like Drew Holiday and, like, be our defensive stopper and whatever. Russ has never been that guy. I don't believe that he's going to be that guy this year. I think that they know that behind the scenes. There's no way that the front office did not witness how all of this went down last year. You know, Russ has some control until his player option is due on the 30th. But once he opts in, the Lakers can do whatever they want in terms of a trade.
Well, I'm still hoping for a miracle that he doesn't opt in, but that's not going to happen.
I mean, is worse because you don't really gain any cap space from him not doing that. Right. And then you don't have the contract to trade to acquire more talent. So you're, like, stuck with last year's team, you know, cap mechanics without Russell Westbrook or, like, any mechanisms to make trades. And so, that's almost worse.
May not be that bad. I mean, addition by subtraction.
Look, I'm saying that now, and it's like, I will be with you by midseason if he's actually on the team. Yeah, like, hey, maybe that wouldn't have been so bad.
Like, if you can get it, if you can just only afford Robert Sacre and a bag of Takis, then you do it. I'm sorry. You just
Robert Sacre, bring him to the coaching staff. He's ready.
You got to do something. But Harrison, this was great. NBA Finals Game 6 tonight. Harrison, the managing editor of SB Nation NBA. Did I say that correctly? Editorial manager of
close
SB Nation.
Close enough. I mean,
NBA.
Look, it's all the
super
close.
Insider.
NBA insider, Harrison Fagan. Always appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I'm happy to come back anytime.
Anytime. We'll be back. This is Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Kaplan and Crew. We are Kaplan and Crew from KaplanandCrew.com. How many times can I say Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios? Before we continue on with the show, I do want to remind everybody that if you want to hang out with me and Browner, you can this Saturday. Browner, we're going to be at iThrive at the iThrive Lounge in Mission Valley this Saturday from 12 to 2.
That's right.
Another IV Lounge. Me, Browner, Dr. Fry. Does Tommy show up?
Yes. The question is, does he show up with Birdman?
Show up? Right. Does Larry the Birdman show up?
I don't know if we're going to see Larry Bird, but when we see Tommy Time, we usually see Larry Bird. So,
Tommy, if you're listening, if you're watching, don't bring a gift. Thank you for everything that you've done. Look, I still got your money right here, bro.
Shout out.
Minus $5. I had to give a tip to somebody. But we're good on the gifts, man. We appreciate it every time, but we're good. But this Saturday at the iThrive Lounge from 12 to 2 in Mission Valley, and just for the record, if you're watching, the number is 858-240-1497, 858-240-1497 to make your reservation or just show up. Honestly, just show up. Like, it's going to be embarrassing if it's just me and Browner in there together. Like, you know, we need you all to come hang out. Mimosas and IVs, get dehydrated while getting hydrated. That's a beautiful concept. Dr. Fry will hook it up. And right now they're also doing, if you buy 10 IVs, you'll get 25% off your 10 IVs. Or if you want to buy 5, you'll get the 6th for free. So many deals happening at iThrive. So call them 858-240-1497. Like I said, you buy 10, you get 25% off. That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
You buy 5, you get the 6th one for free. I've done it. I might go out Friday night to show you guys how well it works on Saturday. That's kind of my...
That's the sacrifice you're willing to make?
I will sacrifice myself and my well-being for you, the great friends, for the iThrive MD to show you how efficient and beautiful these IVs are. I might go ham on Friday. I might go like Vegas style Friday just to show you guys on Saturday what this does for you. So 858-240-1497. Come hang out with us. My voice is going and it's going quick. I don't know if you can hear it now. It's going and it is leaving. It's like it's a sinking ship right now, Browner, but we're still trucking along. Scott will be back on Monday. He's off today and tomorrow. Honestly,
he said he was going to show up today.
Oh, no, dude. He texted me. He texted me this morning at, I'm trying to find the time, at 8:15 this morning. He's like, hey, are you doing a show or is your voice messed up? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. And then he just, and he's like, okay, cool. Here, talk about this. And he gives me all the ads to read. And he's like, okay, bye. I was like, wait, I thought you were going to stop by. You're making it a big deal. I'm gonna show you guys like what Pittsburgh's like. I'm gonna show you guys what this is like. Flake.
Tapped out.
But he'll be back on Monday. We're with you guys today and tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. Last night, big night in Wrigley Field for Manny Machado. He made history. Got his 1,500 hit. He is the 17th player in MLB history. I always like think that's so cool. You get to say something in MLB history. This game's been around forever, since the 1800s. He is just the 17th player in Major League history to reach 1,500 hits and 200 home runs before the age of 30. Of the other 16, all but Andrew Jones and Alex Rodriguez are in the Hall of Fame. It's not actually accurate because Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols are still playing, but they will be in the Hall of Fame. Here is your full list of everybody that has done what Manny Machado did yesterday. Like I said, Cabrera, Pujols, Andrew Jones, Alex Rodriguez, Ken Griffey Jr., Eddie Murray, Ron Santo, Orlando Cepeda, Frank Robinson, Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Mel Ott, Jimmy Fox, and Lou Gehrig. That's a damn list right there, dude. That is a damn list.
You get on that list, and once Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera get on that list, it's going to look even better. And Manny Machado's name will be on that list. I think Manny Machado, around baseball, we spoke about this a little bit earlier, he got a bad rap for some of the things that he did and the way his reputation kind of preceded his actual play. And now that he's gotten to a place where the fan base loves him, he seemed to have regenerated his, not his personality, but people's public his view reputation. Of him. Yeah, and so now I think he's in a different stage where people look at him as a leader. When he first came here, people were saying there was no way this guy could be a leader. And now he's shown himself to be a leader, to be a professional. And not only that, to kind of really be the cornerstone of this franchise. Because when they signed him, that's what they gave him the money for, to be the cornerstone. And he has been that. So he's been worth every penny, man. I mean,
absolutely. The reputation that I had about Manny Machado
was bad.
What I thought about Manny Machado to what I think about Manny Machado now and what I've thought about him since he's been here, to be quite frank, it's he is absolutely a cool leader. Like, he does it on the field. Obviously, we saw the spat him and Tatis had, and I loved him even more when that happened. When he was putting the superstar in check, because he sees, like, I know what you have to do to be a real player in this league. You have the ability to be a superstar, a phenom, a legend in this league. I am showing you how to get there because I am doing it myself. 651 players have hit for 1,500 hits. Think about all the players that have played baseball. Only 651 players have even got to this point. 17 players have only got to the point where, if you add in home runs as well, before the age of 30. So Machado's reputation, his on-field, because we never, obviously defense in baseball, yeah, you get a gold glove, but you don't really talk about it on a day-in, day-out basis.
Right.
You look at the numbers, you look at home runs, you look at average, you look at all the other stats they have. He plays gold glove defense night in, night out. He's a leader in the clubhouse. He's freaking cool. Like, he's always got like dope Jordans on. He's got slick gloves. Like, he's just a cool character to have. He brings like this national recognition to the Padres as well. That Tatis does as well, obviously, but nobody else on this team brings this national recognition like Bunchado and Tatis do, but Tatis isn't around right now. He's reliable. He plays like almost every game. He literally just – they give him a day off like every now and then. And I think I even saw a stat of how many games he's actually – like he doesn't miss games is what I was trying to tell you.
I mean, I think because at the time it was between him and Bryce Harper. Who do you want to give this large chunk of money to? And I didn't really know that much about Manny Machado. I was more for giving Bryce Harper the money. Yeah. Who Bryce Harper, again, he's been great too, but to have somebody right. like Manny Machado, because I don't think Bryce Harper could have done on this roster what Manny Machado has been able to do just because of character makeup.
Yeah, I don't follow the Phillies enough to know like if Bryce Harper is the leader of the clubhouse or the things. All I know is that I really hope Manny opts into the final 5 years of his contract because I mean, listen, if he goes out there and has an MVP season this season,
which he's had,
and he goes out there and he wins a gold glove and he does it again next year, like he might be worth more than $30 million a year in this day and age. Like you never really know. Like, so it's kind of like it is kind of like the Joe Musgrove, like he's pitching himself out of a different bracket. Could Manny Machado be hitting himself and playing himself out of a higher bracket than $30 million? It sounds ridiculous, but can he be doing it? It's possible.
If he leads very well possible to a World Series, he will opt out of that contract.
Yeah, that's if he's the leader, if he's playing like he is playing, yeah, I think he loves San Diego though. I genuinely think he loves San Diego. I think he loves living in San Diego. Everything he's nothing but complimentary about the Padres organization. Obviously, they took a chance on him by giving him this money. I would think we all agree that the project of the Padres was not as appealing as $300 million was appealing at the time of signing.
Of course not.
Right. I think that
the money had a lot to do with it.
The money is why he's here. And there's no shame in saying that. The project has, it's worked out for Manny. It's worked out for the Padres. It's worked out for the organization. It's been a win-win for everybody so far.
At the moment this transaction was made, both parties needed each other. How much they needed each other, I don't think either knew.
Yeah.
But both parties needed each other, and it has shown at the end of the day that it was factual because both parties have grown exponentially because of the partnership.
Here's the stat I just found again. He's only missed more than 10 games in a season only once in 10 years as a professional baseball player. I mean, so he's reliable. He's there every night. And he's done it at short. He's done it at third. This is his career resume so far. Obviously, I called it Road to Cooperstown. That's getting way ahead of ourselves. But he's got 1,500 hits, 260 home runs, 5-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glove, which probably he should have more than that, to be honest. He's been a top 10 MVP candidate for 4 times in his career. He's never won one. But, I mean, he's just been a solid, solid all-around. No complaints. Obviously, he's had some slow starts this season. He's had maybe not – he didn't have like the greatest numbers the first couple of years, but I think that everybody in San Diego is very happy with the addition of Manny Machado.
Count me in. Put me in the yes category.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The Padres obviously wrapped up against the Cubs. They're going to go out and take on the Colorado Rockies this weekend in Coors Field for 3 games. I mentioned earlier Mike Clevinger will not be back for that series. I think it is it's Nick Martinez, it's Blake Snell, and I got to look up. I forgetting who else is. But Nick Martinez in Coors Field is going to be a wild ride, I think.
Oh, boy.
Nick Martinez, boy. Because listen, he's fine. He really is good. I think he's adequate. I would say if you're going to call anybody average on this pitching staff, I would probably go there for Nick Martinez. He's been fine. But he does have the tendency of giving up the long ball.
So, he's a fly ball pitcher that sometimes the ball goes about 5 to 10 yards a little too far.
I believe it's Mackenzie Gore tomorrow, then Nick Martinez Saturday and Blake Snell Sunday. I believe that's the way it's going to go. Last night also, I know that we talked about Ohtani breaking up the no-hitter, which, Browner, you say you don't give a damn about no-hitters.
No.
How many did the White Sox have in their franchise? I feel like they have a ton because didn't Mark Burley throw like four perfect games?
They had four. Burley had two of them.
So There's only one in the Padres organization, and it just happened last year. That's why it's a big deal around here. But yes, Shohei Ohtani broke up the no-hitter yesterday that Tyler Anderson was throwing. But in a bigger picture, what the hell, Dodgers? Like, what the hell? Like, Walker Buehler's hurt. Okay. Clayton Kershaw's been hurt. Julio Urias has a losing record right now. You're like, oh, the Dodgers are going to struggle, you know? They're top three guys. Those are three guys that we thought they had. That's it. We were like, oh, they definitely got Walker Buehler. He's out for a long time. Clayton Kershaw's been out for a while. Julio Urias, who was the league leader in wins last year, now has a losing record this year. Like, oh, man, in the NL West, that's great for everybody else. What the hell? Where'd these guys come from? You got Tony Gonsolin, A&O, Tyler Anderson, A&O. If you're listening on radio, I'm showing on the screen right now the stats of these two guys who are both now the leading the league in wins at A&O. Tony Gonsolin, a 1.42 ERA. Tyler Anderson, a 2.82 ERA. By the way, Anderson hasn't had a below 4 ERA since his rookie year in 2016. Like, what the hell?
I think these guys are...
seven quality starts. Anderson, 5 quality starts.
I think these guys are having superb seasons. I'm always hesitant to let these kind of things be intimidating because they've probably had maybe 10 starts apiece, 10 to 11 starts apiece.
Yeah.
So now you've got tape on them of this year's version of them. Catching up to the old tape that people had of them. And I think the second half of the season, these guys are going to start getting figured out.
Yeah, you're so optimistic, dude.
Because I don't, again.
You are so optimistic. Tyler, Tony Gonsolin has been nothing but great since he's been a Dodger, though. Like, Tony Gonsolin's been in the league for four years now.
That's what I'm saying.
He has a career ERA of under 2.5. Tony Gonsolin is a legit pitcher for the Dodgers. Tyler Anderson, I don't know where this comes from. He's been in the league for 6 years now.
I like our chances against these dudes. I really do. Because these are first-time big stage pitching for those two dudes. Put them up against us. Put them up against us. Barbecue. Cook.
Yeah.
Cook. And we can't even hit.
Going back to real quick, this is a side note from the first segment we talked about. Should Ryan Weathers get another start? He's not. You got options back to AAA.
Oh, man.
So, but to your point, because I like that you said that, because you said they've never, you on this stage, even though Gonsolin has a World Series ring, that you think that they will fade. You think that you like your chances against them. Don't you think Dodger fans are saying the same thing about Gore and Joe Musgrove?
I don't think the Dodgers fans see the Padres as a legitimate threat. And to me,
I agree with that.
That's what makes this even better. Because then when they get their ass kicked, there'll be nothing to say. There'll be literally nothing to say. Because it's going to happen. I just think that when we start evaluating what their fan base thinks of our pitching staff or our players, I don't think that there's any fear. I think they hate Manny Machado. And I think everything else, it seems, is like, oh, that's cute. I think they look at the pitching staff and they go, okay, well, they look at Joe Musgrove like I look at Joe Musgrove. And they go,
I would say they look at him in a worse manner.
Probably
the way that you just looked at Tyler Anderson. You know, Joe Musgrove's been in the league for a long time. Joe Musgrove was a part of a World Series team, even though he wasn't like the guy, barely. Tyler Anderson has had a 4+ ERA, even though Musgrove's kind of been around the 3.94 area. I would say that they look at him exactly the same way that I am looking at Tyler Anderson. Like, what the hell? Even though Musgrove did it last year for the Padres as well, not as excelled as this year. But I agree with you. I think that the Dodger fans don't look at the Padres as a serious threat. They look at them as a team that starts hot and always fades. Kind of in the lens that me and Scott have been talking about them this year, is that historically the Padres, even when they've been awful, they've had pretty good Aprils before. They've had pretty decent Mays before. But since they've become this version of the Padres under Peter Seidler, they've faded last year. And 2020 doesn't count for anything because it was a 60-game season. So I think that you're absolutely right. I don't think the Dodger fans are – I don't think there's a Dodger show in L.A. putting up a graphic of Gore and Musgrove being like, what the hell?
Right.
I think they're like, it's June 16th. This was
in August.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fair. And that's fair. But what I keep arguing in defense of this team is that last year could have either burned the house down or alerted everyone that we have a problem. Let's address these issues. And I think what happened last year allowed everybody to address the issues and come back with a new slate. And I'm going to be 100% honest, and I never thought I would say this. I think the absence of Tatis has allowed them to kind of be a team and not Tatis and the Padres. Because I felt like part of the reason why Tatis was like throwing these tantrums, so to speak, is because he felt like it was Tatis and the Padres. And I think that really affected the team in a way, and the manager didn't know how to handle it. And the front office people aren't direct in your face guys. They're number and statistic guys. And so not having Bob Melvin there to kind of smooth those things out really showed itself on the back end of the season. I think the difference between this season and last season, you will see that if they do hit these ebbs and flows, that it won't be an attitude situation. It might be an injury situation, but it will not be an attitude situation. I think it was attitude and injury last year, and it just completely spoiled the whole lot.
It's like that coach talk in spring training when Bob Melvin was asked, you know, you're not going to have to tease. How are you going to survive? He's like, this is when guys have to step up. This is when we figure out how we're going to win games without him. And it turned out that this case, you know, it's sink or swim. They've been swimming. They've been thriving. Not only swimming, they're like accelerating. So you're right. They figured out ways to win without Tatis. I am not going to sit here and tell you that this team won't be better when Tatis comes back, because I think they will be better. He's just too good. But you're right. I think that, you know what, Scott, dude? Scott, I think we found a solution. I think we found something here.
Uh-oh.
Scott makes me and you fight. Have you noticed when he's not here, we don't disagree too much?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. He's the instigator.
Like, why am I agreeing with Browner right now?
Because I'm right.
Why am I agreeing with him that Tatis last year thought this was the Tatis and the Padres?
Yeah.
Why am I agreeing with him that they figured out how to win? Why am I doing this?
It's pure baseball insight, my man. Pure baseball
insight. But you yesterday saying that Tatis coming back might cause it. I don't believe that, because he's around them. He's in Chicago. He's going to Colorado. He's been around the team.
But here's the difference. Football
we got
players
30 will tell seconds you, and then we can keep talking about it.
Football players will tell you this all the time. Being around and being active, two completely different things.
When we come back, we can talk about a little bit more about the Padres, but I want to get into, and I said this in the first segment, the Chargers are moving to Dallas. What the hell am I talking about?
Would rather talk about Stranger Things.
You don't think the Chargers are moving to Dallas is a big deal?
I would rather talk about Stranger Things.
When we come back, we will talk about the Chargers moving to Dallas and Stranger Things. Kaplan and Crew, 7 Michael Cena Studios. We'll be right back. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Kaplan and Crew. I swear this is Kaplan and Crew. I swear this is not Scott Farrell on the radio. I swear this is Kaplan and Crew. Alex Padilla, John Browner with you guys. It's fading quick, dude. I'm trying my best, and I apologize if my voice is unlistenable today. I am trying my best. I have no idea. I swear to every great friend listening right now,
yeah, right.
I feel 100%. I feel great. I feel fantastic. I feel energized. I feel healthy. But I sound like absolute dog S. It is a mystery to me. I have no idea what's happening, and the more I keep talking, the more I sound like Scott Farrell.
This is your audition for your raspy.
I can fill in for you, Scott. If you take a vacation, I got you, brother.
I got you, bro.
Dude, it is going and it's going quick. I'm not even doing a voice anymore. This is actually how I sound now.
Oh my God. Your voice sounds terrible.
Dude, as I was impersonating Pharrell,
you lost more.
My voice went to Pharrell. This is bad. More. This is bad.
Oh my God. All right. You can drink whatever you want. It's not coming back.
That was the funniest. Dude, it's gone now. It's gone now. Why did I try and I'm just going to do the show as a Pharrell impersonator for the rest of the show. Like, there's no other way around it. I got to talk of like Pharrell now.
That's all you got, man.
Dude, go back to segment one and go to now.
Oh my God. It's gone, man.
There's nothing there. There's nothing to clear. I'm just, this is the water I drink.
You might have to see a throat guy, man.
I just got to stop talking. Like, I didn't talk for over 12 hours.
And it only took, what, 2 hours for it to go away?
Yeah.
You might need to see a throat guy, man.
What if I just whisper and just go like, hey, the man. Love bat? See, like, if I go like the Art LeBeau show. I could do it. Is this annoying too? If I just go low, like what's more annoying, me sounding like Scott Pharrell or me going Art LeBeau showing everybody?
I think the Scott Pharrell has way more potential to be humorous. So I would stick with the Scott.
Why Pharrell. Is my laugh sound normal? What the hell?
Your damage good, okay. Man.
powering through. Alex Padilla, John Browner with you guys. Scott cannot come back fast enough on Monday. The timing of it all, by the way, is hilarious. The fact that you left the show on Monday or Tuesday in the middle of it because you got sick. And then me not believing you, talking trash about you.
See? Karma.
To then Scott being on vacation. To then now me sounding like this. I mean, that is a fool. If you don't believe in karma, I don't know what to tell you.
Hey yo!
Tell you,
karma bus pulled up to your house.
It's here. It is here. Mm-hmm. All right, Browner. I have been teasing this. I will get it off my chest, and we can move on because you don't think this is important.
No,
and I don't know why you don't think this is important.
I don't even think it's real.
The Chargers relocating to Dallas, Texas,
to do
is
what?
A real possibility to become the Dallas Chargers.
As a
that's
power
according
company?
To Dallas Mayor. Eric, where's he at? Johnson. Southern Dallas is the fresh start the Chargers need. Several sites, including the Cotton Bowl and Hensley Field, would be ideal locations for a state-of-the-art practice facility and world headquarters or stadium. We're ready for the NFL in city of Dallas. I'm not doing Hulk Hogan. At NFL Commissioner. This is Mayor Eric Johnson of Dallas, Texas, openly pleading for the Chargers to move to Dallas, Texas. Why? That was a quote tweet that he tweeted from the ongoing lawsuit of Dean Without the End's lawsuit against her brother, Dean. She is suing the Chargers. She's trying to take full control. Her goal that we have told you here in 2024 is to have full control of the family trust, plus her 15% gives her 51% to turn around and sell the team. Browner. We will get to what Jerry Jones said, because you might think Dallas Chargers. There's already the Dallas Cowboys. What the hell are you talking about, Dallas? Who runs the league?
Jerry Jones.
Right. So this whole thing, yes, it was a stupid like tease by me to tell you that the Dallas Chargers would be a thing. But the fact that the city mayor of Dallas is openly pleading, like, where did this even come from? Of all the places that the team would move, I don't think Dallas is even on anyone's radar.
This is something where a politician just throws something out there to see where it would go. This is so pointless. One, to say that would be possible would literally fly in the face of everything Jerry Jones has ever said about the Chargers being in Los Angeles. Because I don't know how many babies are being born in Dallas, but I can guarantee you, those babies are going to be Cowboy fans, period.
Or Texans fans or any other team around there.
Right. That, like, look, man, that if the Chargers are bought by someone else, there's only one logical direction for them to go, and that is south. And that's back here. Not yes. south, not southeast, south. That's it. That's all. End of story. And if the NFL let them go anywhere other than here, then the city, by the time I'm mayor, will sue. We'll sue.
Browner for 2024. Here's what Jerry Jones said. It's almost like a little pat on the head to the mayor of Dallas. He says, well, I like the mayor. I like him personally, but he doesn't have the depth. Okay.
Wow.
He doesn't have the knowledge that others have regarding how unique Dallas is and how we enjoy the interest in the Cowboys. He wouldn't want to water that down as it relates to Dallas if he knew as much. And I have spent as much time in sports as I have. You can be rest assured that you would not have the NFL supporting another team because of the kind of value the game the NFL receives of having the Dallas Cowboys as one of its marquee teams. And again, logic tells you the NFL wouldn't want to water that down. Of course, Jerry, we know this. We know it was just a mayor. Just I don't even know like why he would even say this, because Jerry Jones runs the league. You think someone's going to come into his territory and take – he gets teams and territories he wants them to go to.
Right, Jerry not Jones, the other way around.
Jerry Jones was the architect of the move to Los Angeles. You think all of a sudden he's going to let the team he moved to Los Angeles then move to his backyard? Come on now, Mayor Eric Johnson. I got to get Eric Johnson on the show just to tell him, hey, you don't know anything.
The best part about Eric Johnson is that he knows how to get his name in the news. That's it. Yeah. That's all. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all. Browner, that was my tease, but really the most important thing we're going to talk about in this final segment of the show is a continuation of what has happened with Tommy Pham. Have you heard the latest of what has happened with Tommy Pham?
And when I heard Tommy Pham go on and on more about the fantasy league, I was like, that's my guy.
Well, the San Francisco Giants kind of took it to another level.
They antagonized him. They poked the bear.
They poked the bear, and guess who's going to play each other next week?
The Giants and the Giants. And the Reds.
So there might be a pimp slap coming. There might be a pimp slap coming. What am I talking about? Here is the Giants and the shirts they wore just this week saying stashing players on the IR isn't cheating. That is a direct shot to Tommy Pham, because that was what the whole thing with Jock Peterson and him was about. It's about stashing a player on the injured reserve, even though the player was not injured anymore, blah, blah, blah. Was this going to go unnoticed by Tommy Pham? Oh, hell no, it's not. So Tommy Pham went to Twitter and replied to this quote or this tweet saying, they really played themselves, because now all I have to do is release the IR rules in the league and the text how I told Jock I was going to pimp slap him for cheating. The San Francisco Giants host the Cincinnati Reds on June 24th. Is it a surprise that their Saturday and Sunday games are nationally televised? I think not.
Let the slapping commence. Now, the question basically becomes, when Tommy Pham takes the field for his pregame, will Jock Peterson be anywhere around? Will those shirts be anywhere around? Because if the Giants are tough, which I doubt they are, the toughest Giant is Gabe Kapler. Outside of that, I don't see any of these guys having the balls to wear that shirt the day they play the Reds.
Oh, not even close. I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. I think 100% the Giants support their boy and rock those shirts. What's Tommy Pham going to do? Slap everybody?
If it comes to that.
I would love to see it.
If it we will have 4K images of Tommy Pham coming out for his pregame workout.
The pregame cameras will be all the game cameras will all be turned on.
You goddamn right. They better be.
We are not going to miss the angle of this.
This slap won't be grainy. It won't be some, was it a slap? No, you will have sound from the slap, because there'll be so many cameras trained on Tommy Pham. They might mic him up.
Do you remember on Monday I played a video of Mike Trout talking about how he does not want to be commissioner anymore? He was on the ESPN broadcast on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Talking about how the ESPN fantasy rules were awful.
Yeah.
Continuation to this. This league has not stopped. Tommy Pham bounced. This league continues. I don't know how he did it, and I don't know how it worked out. But Barstool president Dave Portnoy,
oh boy, this guy again,
was invited to join the league and be their new commissioner. That's according to Dave Portnoy, who tweeted this yesterday, saying, "I've been invited to join this fantasy league. I have accepted. I've also been put in charge of finding a new commissioner to replace Mike Trout. I said I will assign a dork who works for me to be the new commissioner. They've agreed. I also requested higher stakes." So, Barstool president Dave Portnoy has now employed one of his football nerds to be the commissioner, where Eric Hosmer is in this league, by the way. Jock Peterson's still in this league. Mike Trout still in this league. I believe Machado was in this league, but we still got to figure out who's still remaining and who's coming in. But this league will now be like, it's all going to be out there going forward, because Barstool has their hands on it. Dave Portnoy has his hands on it. They've all agreed. I believe I read the stakes to buy in. I don't think this is true. It's $3 million. I don't think that's true. But if it is, we are going to know everything about this league going forward.
This Dave Portnoy character, I'm not a fan, but I respect his hustle. I 100% respect his hustle. But I don't. This league will get shut down quick. The second he starts spilling league secrets or talking about the league, guys will be like, "Hey, man, I'm out." This guy is like, no, this is for players only. And somehow this yokel got in, and now he's, one, upping the ante, which, you know, we're not here for money. We're here for fun. And now he's going to publicize it for everybody, because now we let two lackeys who don't even play baseball in the league. One of them just a nerd who just wants to be a part of it. And the other one's really turned into a jerk rich guy. So
who's the jerk rich guy?
Oh, Portnoy. Portnoy, pizza man.
Yeah. No, the thing is about this league is that it's going to keep going. Because, listen, if these guys reach out to Portnoy, they have no problem with Portnoy and all his history of whatever he's being accused of. They clearly don't care. So I think that this league is going to be the most famous fantasy football league of all time.
Hands down.
Now, the old saying in fantasy football, no one cares about your fantasy football team. Will we care about this fantasy league without Tommy Pham? I say no.
If the penalty isn't somebody going to get slapped at the end of the season, no one's going to care.
Genuinely think without Tommy Pham in this league is just like every other league. This is a famous, like, you know how many famous people talk about their fantasy football league online and nobody cares about it? Like, you know how many athletes are play fantasy football? Nobody. The only reason we cared about this, by the way, I'm not doing it for real. The only reason we cared about this fantasy football league is because Tommy Pham slapped somebody in the middle of a baseball field.
And that's it.
That's it. Should do everything they can to reinstate Tommy Pham in this league. Everything. If they really want this to be a legit Barstool production, they need to get Tommy Pham back in this league, and they need to show him pimp slapping some fools.
He's the only one who can save the league. He's the only one who can save the importance of this league. Without Tommy Pham, this league is just another bunch of dudes doing fantasy football. Period.
I agree. I 100% agree that the league needs Tommy Pham. The Padres need Fernando Tatis. It goes hand in hand.
Well, yeah.
I know you don't agree. I know you don't agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree more about Pham than I do about Tatis. But I can't wait till he comes back.
I'm really curious to see what last night, the Barstool, they went all in on this league. They were showing screenshots of players interacting. This is a real thing. Like, this isn't something he made up. Like, this is a real thing. So we'll see. But I genuinely think that they need Tommy Pham. And we'll see what happens next week, by the way, when the Reds go to San Francisco. Tommy Pham better not get freaking hurt from now till then. He better be there. He better be there in baseball. Don't you dare suspend him for no reason again.
The only thing getting hurt between now and then on Tommy Pham is the backhand, because he's going to be practicing.
You think he's be practicing like his Muay Thai? What does Scott say? Muay Thai?
Yeah. He's gonna be practicing backhand and punching bags.
What if he drop kicks somebody?
Oh my!
What if he does a flying knee?
I hope.
What if someone like if they actually fight that? That's a different thing. Like a slap is hilarious.
What happens if he's rounding third base and there's a play at the plate?
Oh, he's going head first.
Easily.
Even though Jock is an outfielder in a DH, so they're not going to get anywhere near each other. But
the debt will be paid.
You asked that day, like, do the Giants hit him?
They don't have it. Again, they don't have it in them. They're not that group. They don't got it in them. I don't know
if they have that pitcher in them. I don't know, like, if they have a wild card. I don't know. Well, we'll see. That series is next week. Barstool, do everything you can to get Tommy Pham. It's time now for the highlight of the day, and we got some fun stuff coming up.
It's time for the highlight of the day, man.
Do you want to get high, man?
I'm just really high.
There's so much going on at Torrey Holistics because they're doing another grand opening starting tomorrow, another grand opening at California Holistics down in Chula Vista. And you guys all need to make your way down there. I'm going to put the deals on screen for you here in just a second. But on Friday and Saturday at California Holistics, you got all these deals happening. You got 20% off tinctures, 20% off heavy hitters. You got 20% off Jetties, who we were talking to yesterday when I lost my voice yesterday, Browner. 25% off Torrey Herb Co. Buy one, get one for a penny. You got 20% off Garcia Handpicked, who we've talked to previously. Just so much happening this weekend at Torrey at California Holistics for their re-grand opening starting tomorrow. I believe it starts at noon tomorrow. Or 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. So get on down there at California Holistics. Have you been besides the... you did the show from there, but have you gone down there and shopped and all that?
No, man, a gift card situation wasn't right. Now that it is.
Is it right? Because I got a lot.
I heard it's right. Scott went down there after he left the barbecue place, after the grill fest.
On Saturday at 12 p.m., they're doing a free swag bag. 250 gift bags are being given away or sold, excuse me, for a penny. For a penny.
So they're giving away.
Down there. Yeah. X-Man's going to be there from 92.5. There's going to be lowriders out there. There's going to be DJs tomorrow starting at 4:30. On Saturday starting at 12:30. You got Chili's. You got a food truck. It's going to be a good downtime. I'm going to head down there probably tomorrow, even though I don't think I should be doing anything to my throat. Maybe I can get like a topical or something and rub it on my throat. I don't know, but I'm going to head down there. My first highlight of the day today, I know we only got a few minutes left. I got to do a shout out, Browner. Did you see my man, Affy?
Yes, I did. Shout out.
The Pay That Man swag is being delivered and people are rocking it. If you get a Pay That Man, if you get an I'm With D, if you get a Brown Facts, if you get a Team Water, if you get any swag from our store, from our merch shop, please hit us up on any social media, tag us, and we'll put you out there. Shout out to Affy for rocking the Pay That Man. Mine is on its way. I got that exact same shirt. It looks dope, so I'm very stoked about that. My highlight of the day, Browner. Luke Voit hit another home run yesterday off a position player. But did you know this position player gave up a bomb off a 35-mile-per-hour pitch on Sunday as well? Because the Cubs are getting their ass kicked on Sunday against the Yankees. They put him in. He throws a 35-mile-per-hour pitch, and they go
position player out.
Hey. High fly ball off the bat of Higashioka. Did he get it? Oh, he got it.
Making out, they're going to be all over
this. Is last night.
He sends that one in the air to very deep center field. Ortega drifting, watching, gonna go. Home run for Luke Voit.
That dude was just throwing BP last night. And Luke? You know that he was, up until that point, he was the only Cubs pitcher to get Manny Machado out yesterday.
Dude.
That's hilarious.
Whenever Luke Voit makes legit contact with the ball, I'm like, how far? Yeah. How far? Because we made a lot of fun of him because he wasn't making any contact. Now he's like smashing the ball.
We got more coming up. This is Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. If you're on radio, if you're on podcast, you'll see what happens next. Kaplan and Crew, kaplanandcrew.com. Go get all your merch. Browner, I'm fucking done, dude.
We're fine. I don't know what is happening here.
It doesn't hurt. That's what's so crazy.
But you don't want to take the chance of going another segment and then like losing it completely and not having anything to even work with.
Yeah. So, as we sit here at the time, did you see what Joe Musgrove did in the first inning?
I did not.
Leadoff home run.
Again.
See, you wanted to root. You wanted to say, I told you, wanted to root. You're happy about it.
I'm just saying.
All right, everybody. Listen, I don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. I don't. I really don't. I'm trying my damn best. I swear to you guys. This is annoying to listen to, right? Like, this is annoying to listen to.
It's a different pitch.
Yeah.
It's a different
pitch. I don't want to annoy listeners. I don't want to turn listeners off with this voice. So I will keep you guys posted on social media if this happens tomorrow or not. Because if it's like this again, I mean, I'll do it.
Not for long.
I don't know if I should. So I'm going to shut the hell up for the rest of the day now. I'm just not going to talk for today. So Browner, shortened show, not planned to be a shortened show. Bye, everybody. This is Scott Farrell.